Well, as we look through the scriptures and the life of Jesus, we see that he has a purpose and a mission, and that purpose and mission is all about you. He is intentional about you. You are the focus of his attention. In fact, the reason why he created the heavens and the earth was that he might put you upon it. Isn't that an amazing thought? That all of this that surrounds us, the trees and the skies and the atmosphere and the birds and the bees and the planets and everything, the whole of the universe was created with you in mind. He created a home, and it is this universe that we live in. And he has designed it that you may experience a rich and satisfying life. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have a rich and satisfying life. Now, we don't mean in terms of material wealth, finance and money. We're talking about the quality of our experience. So let's have a look at this passage of scripture together where we find this verse. How am I doing with the flicky thing? Thank you very much. John 10 in the New Living Translation says this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They don't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Next slide, please. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And here it is. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so if the wolf attacks and scatters the flock, the hired hand runs away because he's working only for money. He doesn't really care about the sheep. So here we have it. Jesus wants to give you and I a rich and satisfying life, a quality experience that is ever increasing in God. And he does this, according to this passage of scripture, by shepherding us. He is our shepherd. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, think of this psalm in the context of a rich and satisfying life. Listen to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me every day of my life. Now that is a rich and satisfying experience in life, where somehow in the economy of God, his blessing, his spirit, his life, his richness is poured into us and through us, that we experience a quality of life that nothing else can give. And this comes through being shepherded by Jesus. Now, the method that Jesus shepherds us into this ever-increasing experience is a very simple concept, and it is the concept of voice, hearing his voice, him communicating and speaking to us and us responding. Hearing the voice of Jesus is the key to being moved by God into ever-increasing pastures which symbolize a growing quality of experience in our life. So Jesus says, the watchman opens the gate for the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. The watchman opens the gate, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his feet follow him because they know his voice. So he's leading us into something. He's leading us into the more of God, into the greater things of God, into the abundance of God, into the things of God without limit. And how do we move from this place to another place? Jesus says, actually, it's about being shepherded. It's about hearing voice, my voice. And hearing the voice of Jesus, the shepherd, responding to it, causes in our experience movement into the greater purposes of God. Now, there are many voices in this world. And this is what we really need to be mindful of. The key thing is hearing the voice of Jesus and being aware of the different type of voices that there are, that we may distinguish between the voice of Jesus and the voice of something else. So there is the voice, for example, of popular opinion. This is a very powerful voice. Media represents popular opinion, the voice of the media, capturing the mood of the culture of the time and communicating it through film, music, radio, television, magazine, article, newspaper. Not all of it is contrary to Christ, but we need to be very careful that we are not pressurized by popular opinion where it contradicts and doesn't complement the voice of Jesus. You see, popular opinion is very powerful because when the masses say this and we think that, the temptation is to think, I must be wrong, and your confidence in the whisper, in the single, quiet voice of Christ can be robbed. Philosophical thought, secularism, they have the power to persuade and squeeze us into a mold. Paul says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world's thinking. Do not be squeezed by the popular voice, but allow your life, your decisions, your journey to be shaped by another voice, by the voice of God, the voice of the shepherd. Lots of popular opinion can be something like, all roads lead to God. All religions lead to God. Jesus doesn't say that. The voice of the shepherd says, I am the gate. Anybody who doesn't come through the gate, through the doorway, is a thief and a robber. He doesn't say all religions lead to God. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Not a very popular voice. Not a popular voice, but it is the voice of the shepherd. A popular voice is sexual morality is antiquated. To have a view on sexual morality, keeping sex within the confines of marriage between one man and one woman, is an antiquated view. The number of times I've heard that quoted on television recently, it's not a popular voice. Marriage is dispensable. Divorce is acceptable, scripture is debatable, public faith is fanaticism, presenting Jesus is a violation of human rights and dignity, not agreeing with religious views is an incitement to hatred, unless you're not agreeing with Christianity, of course. Popular voice. And it is a voice. And it's a pressurizing voice that would seek to conform us into a pattern and a mold, and it's very powerful. Another voice that we have is the voice of upbringing. Within us, there is an inner voice that has been shaped by our upbringing, by our past. And those of you who travel, and if you travel to different cultures and different parts of the world, you realize that conscience and what we believe is right and wrong and the way we should do life is hugely dictated to by our upbringing. A friend of mine In his upbringing, his parents on the weekend used to buy a bar of chocolate and put it in the fridge. And a family of five, and the five children were not allowed to eat this chocolate because it was for, you know, mum and dad. Would they eat it after their family, after their intimate meal, maybe on a Friday or a Saturday night, and it was their thing. And if they ate the chocolate, they'd be in big trouble. So when my friend grew up and got married, he carried on with this pattern, and one day he bought the chocolate, put it in the fridge for him and his wife to enjoy on the weekend, and he went to get the chocolate on the Saturday night, and lo and behold, one of his kids had eaten the chocolate. And in the kitchen, he said, "Have you been eating the chocolate?" And he gave him a telling off and a dressing down and a serious row right there in the kitchen. Mum was watching, little boy was traumatized, my friend was very annoyed. And his wife turned around and says, "What's the deal with the chocolate? Of course the kids can share our chocolate." And in that moment, he realized how his patterns and habits and even his emotional responses and what caused outrage and anger and disapproval to his own children had been dictated to by his upbringing. How many reactions and thoughts and decisions and attitudes of approval of others are dictated by your upbringing rather than the voice of Christ? It's a very powerful voice within us. "Manners maketh the man," is the phrase, isn't it? Unless you're an American. Because have you seen the way they use their knife and fork? They don't know how to hold a knife and fork. But our upbringing can dictate that this etiquette, this manners, this is the way you should behave, this is the way you should speak, this is the way you should conduct yourself, this is right. And a lot of it is from upbringing and not the voice. So be aware of the voice of upbringing, because it can determine and dictate your reactions and your decisions. And it might not be the voice of Christ. Another one is this: expectation. This is similar to upbringing, but it's very powerful. Expectation of others that we have lived with produce within us an inner voice that dictate to the decisions and the pathways that we take. Let me say something I'm really concerned about at the moment. I'm concerned that in our nation, speaking to you guys, I'm concerned that in our nation, we are having very, very few younger people actually willing to give their lives in ministry full-time to serve Jesus. Because increasingly, as I'm talking to many people, there is an expectation, and this is the expectation: university and career, financial security, progression on the career road, and that is the expectation, often from their upbringing, often from their own ambition, often from their own dreams, often from parents, often from family background. But that is not always compatible with a call of God to say, "I am prepared to trust you with my life. I am prepared to live with much. I am prepared to live with little. I'm prepared to sacrifice no matter what it takes," because 98% of the population of England and Wales do not know Jesus. And there are whole swathes of regions and towns and communities in this nation alone of Wales that don't even have a church that believe in the Bible, let alone are effective in presenting it. And there is a desperate call and a desperate need for young men and women, not just young men and women from right across the board, but I'm speaking about expectation, to actually lay down their lives and say, "I will give it all away for Christ." Now, of course, there is nothing absolutely wrong in going to university. You know I'm saying that. My own children have gone there, with the exception of Chloe, who's not there yet. And whether she goes to Bible college or university, it's up to her. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Sometimes there's an expectation. There is a driver within us that can close our ears to a voice of a high calling in a desperate time. And the voice of expectation, where it's career track or another track that somebody's putting an expectation upon you, is a voice. And we need to be mindful of it. Then there is the voice of our pain and the voice of our personal wounds and our fears. Like somebody as a child, maybe 3 or 4 years old, who was bitten by a dog. And now every dog that they see, they're frightened of. And they are fearful of. And they run away from. And they've been robbed with the opportunity of knowing what it is to have a dog that's friendly. The voice of pain, the childhood voice, maybe it's a teacher who has been unkind to you. Maybe it's a father who has been oppressive and abusive. Maybe it's an authority figure, a policeman, a government official. Maybe something along the line in your past has caused a wound, and now you approach all of those circumstances and all of those peoples with a voice that says, keep away, be careful, don't trust, retreat, back off, keep your distance. It's a voice that determines the pathway that you go in a particular situation. It's a powerful voice. And it's a voice that can rob us of so much. But they're voices. Then there's the voice of our supporters. You think the voice of our supporters will be voices that will help us. Now, sometimes supporters can encourage us and help us in our darkest and most depressing moments. But not always are the voice of our supporters compatible with truth and the voice of Christ, because they like us, and it takes a courageous person to say something that will upset you or challenge you emotionally. Takes a courageous friend to speak the truth. We've all known of the mother-in-laws, not mine. And mind you, I do have a soft spot for my... No, okay. We all know of the mother-in-laws, not mine, who at the wedding, you know, just before the wedding, when she's buying the mother-in-law's dress, go to her supporters, her friends, and say, what do you think? And they go, oh, yes, you look great. And then on the day, her supporters and friends go, what was she thinking about? You see, our voice of our supporters are not always the most objective voice. And we need to be careful about the voice of our supporters, because supporters tell you often what they think you want to hear. But the Bible says the wounds of a friend, or the truthful speaking of a friend, is faithful. And it might not often feel very emotionally supportive, but it is faithful, and it can bring an adjustment into your experience in life. And then we have the voice of our desires and wants. I remember Sarah, when she was planning to go to university, because of her talent and desire, decided to go to St. Martin's Art College. She got in, she had the interview, she went through the interview, and on the way home in the coach, she realized that she was saying, Lord, bless me in the decisions I am making. Bless me in the decisions that I want to fulfill. And she realized on the way home that God didn't want her to go to St. Martin's Art College, one of the best colleges in the UK for art. She realized that God didn't want her to go there. But her whole desire has caused her and led her to this point. But it wasn't the desire that God had for her. And in that moment, she heard a fresh voice. And so she abandoned that desire, which of course led her to me. What a voice. I'm more surprised that Sarah went out with a dog like me. True, it's true. I did feel a dog in her presence. But there we go. Well, who wouldn't? I mean, she is amazing, isn't she? Yeah. Be careful of our own desires, even the good ones, because God might have a different track for us. So, and then there's the final voice I want to talk about. Oh, there's a voice of sin and pride. Be careful of that voice. And then there's the voice of Satan, which is the voice of temptation, the voice to doubt the word of God. When Satan said to Eve, "Has God said?" When Satan said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God," it's the temptation to doubt what God says, that his way is truthful, wise, and best. It is the temptation of deception. It is the temptation of independence. Eat the fruit, you'll be wise like God, you won't need him anymore. It is the temptation of rebelling against the word of God and the authority of God and the way of God. Be careful of that voice. So we have many voices, don't we? Now, what do these voices have in common? This is what they have in common. They don't come through Jesus. They come from another source. The popular opinion, the upbringing, the sin and the pride, the voice of Satan, the voice of our selfishness, the voice of expectation. They're all voices, but the source isn't Jesus. And when we have a voice that is not compatible with Jesus or doesn't come from Jesus, let the alarm bells ring. Let the warning lights switch on. Let the red light blaze, because we need to be really, really careful at that point. Why? Because Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the man who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber." And when you look at this text, we see the voice of the shepherd and the shepherd are synonymous. They're one and the same thing. The shepherd and his voice are the same thing. He shepherds us through voice. And so what happens? The robber sneaks over the wall into the living spaces of our lives and influences us to follow a course, a different direction. And Jesus says, as we follow that course, that voice, what are the consequences? We become robbed of stuff. The richness and the quality of life that he wants to give us becomes diminished. For Jesus says, the thief, his goal is to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yet my purpose is that you may have a rich and satisfying life. How do I move into the rich, satisfying life? And by following the voice. But every time I listen to a voice that has sneaked into the living spaces of my life, that are not coming from Christ or compatible to Christ, and follow that, I become diminished in some way. And there are many voices contending for our will right now. Many voices. Paul mentions the same truth, but he uses a military analogy rather than a shepherding one. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Do you see that thought? That's the voice. The thought in your head. The thought of your upbringing that informs your upbringing. The thought of popular opinion. The thought of a philosophy that's not compatible to Jesus. The thought of your pride and the thought of your sin and the thought of if I do this, will God turn up for me? The thought of doubt. We take captive these thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. So Christ becomes our thought and our voice. Am I communicating? Good. Thank you, Harvey. So, how do I know the voice of God? Well, one of the big questions is to ask where this is leading. Actually, I've got some great books for you to think about. Some good books to actually recognize the voice of God. Campbell McAlpine wrote a great book called Biblical Meditation. That's a good book. Joyce Huggett has written a great book called Listening to the Voice of God. It's a great book. Bill Hybels has just brought out a very good book called Whisper. Three great books if you want to grow in your understanding. But one question to ask when discovering the voice of God, and I want to keep my comments this morning to the text of John chapter 10, because this is a big subject, but I just want to keep it to this succinct text, because this is the starting place for Jesus and the voice of God. And so let's start where Jesus started. And if we can just get these ABCs underneath our belt, that's a good starting place. And so the first question to ask when trying to discern or recognize the voice of God is ask this question: where is this leading? Is this voice leading to God or away from God? Is this leading to holiness or away from holiness? Is this voice leading into strength spiritually or weakness? Is this voice leading to scripture and prayer? Or am I finding that as I think about this voice, I'm reluctant to read scripture because there's another voice that is challenging it? Have you ever experienced that? The Bible says that Spurgeon, he said this: the Bible will either keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from the Bible. The voice will either keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from the voice of the scriptures, the voice of Christ in the scripture. Is this voice leading me to scripture, to God, to worship, or is it leading me away? Is this voice leading me away from the flock of God, the church, or towards it? Is it deepening my relationship with God's people or away from it? Is this voice increasing unity or damaging it? Is this voice helping me journey with God's people and the flock or hindering it? The reason I say that is because in this passage, the starting place for Jesus is this: they will listen to my voice and they shall be one flock. The voice of Christ leads us into oneness, one flock. It's a really interesting passage of scripture. Jesus says this: a new command I give you, or a new voice I give you. Right? The voice is in the command. Hear, O Israel, God said to the Israelites, hear, O Israel, listen to the Lord your God. And he did that as he was listing out the commands. And they were between two mountains, the mountain of blessing and the mount of curse. And there was the command that goes, if you obey me, you'll get all the blessings. That's the rich and satisfying life. If you don't, it's going to go wrong. Same message. And he says, hear, O Israel, listen to the Lord your God. Listen to the command. Listen to the voice. And if you listen to the voice, you move into the blessing. And Jesus says, a new command, a new voice, listen, O Israel. He's speaking to the 12 disciples that represent the 12 tribes of Israel, which actually are the forerunners of the church, which now we're included in, we through Christ. So he's listening, listen, church, to a new voice, a new command I'm giving you. What is it? Love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. This is how all men will know that you are my disciples, that you are listening to my voice. That you love one another. The voice of Jesus leads us to love one another. It's not practical. It's not philosophical, but it's practical, it's relational. You can't do it at a distance. You can't love from a distance. It's up close and personal. It's hands dirty. It's eyeball to eyeball. It's heart to heart and soul to soul. It's connectivity. Yet the voice of Satan, the voice of the thief, the voice of the robber would seek to sabotage this. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. It's all in the context of voice. The voice of the shepherd leads to one flock. The voice of the thief scatters. The wolf's tactic as the enemy of our souls, the demonic tactic, is to scatter the flock. When the flock is scattered, it's because of Satan's attack. This is what he does. He picks off the ones at the edges and the fringe. You see, when a wolf seeks to attack a flock, he's looking for the weak ones at the fringe, the ones who aren't keeping pace. And he's hiding and prowling. And in a moment's notice, he attacks the weak. He picks them off. And then the rest of the sheep are alarmed and scatter. He devours our holiness. He devours our love. He devours our spiritual zeal. He devours our relationship. He devours our spiritual health and blessing. It's robbed. He wants to take everything that's good. The wolf attacks, scatters the flock. And so when we're discerning the voice of God, first question to ask is this: does this gather or does it scatter? Does this gather or does it scatter? Is it gathering me to Jesus? Is it gathering me around the things of God? Is it gathering me around the people of God? Is it gathering me around the Word of God? Is it gathering around Scripture? Is it gathering me around the service of God and the vision of God and the purpose? Is it gathering me? Or is it scattering me? Now, this brings me to my next point. Staying close to Jesus is the key. Staying close to Jesus. So how do I recognize his voice to stay close to him? Okay, I can do this in the time. Familiarity is the key to recognizing the voice of God. Familiarity. Look what the scriptures say. Listen to this, look. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Stranger, sorry, don't recognize that voice. Familiar, oh, I recognize the voice. The key to hearing the voice of Christ is to be familiar with him. What do you mean? Spending time with Jesus. Being in his presence. The first method is Scripture. You must read Scripture. You must read Scripture. I'll say it again. No, this is important. You must read Scripture. Why? Because Christ communes with us, reveals himself to us, speaks to us, draws close to us by his Spirit through his Word. The words I speak to you, they are Spirit and truth. That word truth is a special word. It just doesn't mean cognitive truth. It's just a fact. It means reality. They are real. I come to you in spirit and in reality. I am truth, I am reality, says Jesus. So aletheos in the Greek, I am truth, I am reality. I come to you in reality. I presence myself in you. Do you know, you're reading it with your mind, but I am invading your spirit and your inner man through it. I'm speaking to you with spiritual words. I am changing you. I am fellowshipping with you. I am touching you. I'm drawing close to you. I am filling you with myself. As you read scripture, you are drawing close, and I am drawing close to you. Jesus comes to us in his word. His voice, his character, his heart, his spirit pours into us as we read scripture. It washes us. It imparts faith and power and changes us. And his voice will lead us through the voice of scripture. When I want direction from God, and I say, God, I need an answer on this. It might be a problem, it might be a question, it might be a challenge or a difficulty, but I need the voice on this. This is what I do. I read pages and pages and pages and pages of scripture until I know the voice. It will, it will be extraordinary amounts of reading. I will read it over a cup of coffee when I come home from work, my Bible, just reading. I'll read the Psalms, and I'll flick to the Gospels, and then I'll flick to a passage in the New Testament, and then I'll flick back. I'll just read and 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 read until I've got something. It might happen the first reading. Sometimes I have read for days until I have concluded what the voice is saying. Days. Not actually like I'm blocking off days from work. No, picking Chloe up from school. And I'm not late, and I'm early. And I'll bring out my New Testament, and I'll start reading it. When I'm at bed, before Sarah joins me in the bed, if I'm there first, I'll grab my bed, and the light's on, and I'm reading it last thing at night. First thing in the morning. I'm reading. Any spare moment, I just pick it up and read and read because I need to hear God on this. I'm reading. Sometimes, this is the way I find it for me, and I'll share how it works for me because it might help you. Sometimes in that moment, a word or a sentence or a thing will just lift off the page. And I go, that's it. It's just lifted off the page, like lit up, and by faith I can take it. And out of the hundreds and thousands of words I've read, there is one verse, one phrase that, bang, stands out above them all. And by faith, because you all got to take a risk, by faith I capture it and go, that's it. That saturating in scripture to hear the voice of God. It's always good to read it regularly, but in this particular intention, I've got the voice. But more than often I've noticed, I find that having read scripture and saturated myself, and after I put the book down and I might walk from the living room into the kitchen to make a cup of coffee or something, I'm left with a lingering sense, a lingering mood. The best way I can describe it is that, you know, when you've gone to see a really great film and it's touched you, your emotions, and you walk down the steps of View Cinema, and you just come into the alley and you're just going down the escalators. And as you're walking down the steps, down the escalator, outside, you find yourself carrying with you a mood. I don't mean a bad mood, but a mood. There's a sense that how that film has impacted itself upon you. Yeah? Have you noticed that? Because the film has made an impression upon you. Now, what I find is this, having read pages and pages and pages of scripture, every time I put it down, I find myself carrying a particular mood that is related to the thing I'm seeking God about. It might be, it's going to be all right, Julian, be at peace. It might be, do nothing, trust me. It might be, I really need to do something about that. You know? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And what I find after day, every time I put it, I have the same mood. And there comes a time when I have to capture that by faith and say, do you know what? This is the Spirit of God communicating to me that I can actually translate through my thoughts that God is speaking to me. Yeah. Does that help? Voice of God through the voice and the witness of Scripture. So saturate yourself in Scripture. You must read it. Now, finally, in conclusion, prayer. Secondly, we must pray. To pray is to connect intentionally and consciously with Jesus. He's with us all the time. We're continually connected with him through faith. But prayer is when we intentionally and consciously connect. It is to notice him and talk to him and listen to him. Get into the habit of talking to Jesus often. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do we say? Don't be anxious. In everything, pray with thanksgiving. This is the key to prayer and listening to the voice of God. Slow down. Slow down. The key to the presence of Christ and the voice of Christ is slowing down. We live in a busy world. There's many voices, there's many demands. We have to exercise the discipline of slowing, stopping. It's called be still and know that I am God. You can't do it in a rush. Stop the thoughts, the rush, the words, the panic. Calm down. Don't rush. Slowly. Be anxious for nothing. Slow down. Still the waves of your heart, the turmoil of your soul, the anxiety of your spirit, the speed of your inner clock. Pause it. Stop. Breathe slowly. Walk slowly. Concentrate on Jesus, not on the many things. Pray about everything. Thank God all the way through. Present your request to him. Don't worry about being selfish. So many people have said to me, I can't pray about this. Myself, it seems selfish. You are commanded to pray about yourself. It's not selfish. Trust him. Listen to the inner voice. And just as you get a lingering impression from the voice of Scripture, when you slow and finish your time of prayer and come to an end, you will find that there will be a lingering impression about the things you're praying about. Sometimes it will be a thought that comes into your mind out of the blue for no reason. Now, if it's something already you've been thinking about, be careful with that. But when it comes out of the blue, it's often the voice of God. I had this experience on Friday. I paid no attention to it, much to my peril. I went to Tesco's to get some L plates for Chloe, take her out in the car. I bought some chewing gum. I do this all the time. I regularly buy chewing gum in Tesco's. It's not a big deal. It's not an addiction. It's just not a big deal. I buy chewing gum. So I'm walking from the till. And as I open up the chewing gum packet, in my mind, for no particular reason, comes an account 3 to 5 years ago when I took my sabbatical and I was in America. And my crown and my tooth had come off, and I just saw myself in the dentist chair, because I had to go to the dentist in America. And the dentist chair, and they were fixing my tooth. And I just had a picture of it. And I put the chewing gum in my mouth, got into the cart. Within 2 minutes, my crown had come off. Yes. I think That was the voice of God saying, Julian, don't eat the chewing gum. Book up an appointment with the doctor. Get the seal checked. Because why should I think about that out of the blue, an event 3 to 5 years ago? Why? That often happens, but we don't often notice it. Why? Why didn't I notice it? Because I was in a rush. Slow down. Listen to the inner voice. Capture the lingering impression or the in thought that is imposed within your thinking or in your heart or in your soul for no reason. Listen to what Bill Hybels says in his latest book, Listening to the Voice of God, which is called Whisper. I recommend it to you. If you lower the ambient noise of your life and listen expectantly for those whispers of God, your ears will hear them. And when you follow their lead, your world will rock. Let's pray. Father, we long to hear your voice more clearly. And we thank you that you speak more often than we realize. Help us to turn down the dial of the many voices that we've been exploring today. Help us to still our hearts through engaging with Scripture and your presence in prayer, and turn up the dial that we may tune in to the voice of the shepherd. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll give us such a sharp discernment and wisdom that we will not follow any voice that sneaks into the living space of our life over the wall, any voice that hasn't come through you or is not compatible with you or consistent with you. Help us to recognize the thieves that seem so powerful and persuasive but rob us of what you intend. And give us grace and the help of your Spirit to hear the voice of God and to follow the leading of your shepherding, that we may walk increasingly into that rich, satisfying life, the life to the full, the life in abundance, the fullness of your Spirit without measure. In Jesus' name, amen.